1918. You remember that song, don't you? 1918, we took a little trip. Matthew 19:18. And he saith unto him, which? Oops, that's the wrong page or what? Oh, okay, never mind. He said unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love the Lord, thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray. Father, help us. Give us liberty to preach, wisdom to preach, fire to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk to you for a few minutes. I want to be very quiet, gentlemanly kind of thing tonight. And I want to talk to you on this thought. Was Jesus a liberal? Or was he a conservative? Or maybe he was libertarian. Now, in our society, everybody has to have a label. And I'm not opposed to labels. You know, I could never go to a non-denominational church or an inter-denominational church. I want to go to one so that when everybody knows I go there, they know what that church is. See? People say, well, I just don't, you know, you can't find denominations in the Bible. Well, there's a lot of things you can't find in the Bible, ain't nothing wrong with. You can't find iced tea in the Bible either, but I like it. Amen. So you have to be careful about that kind of thing. What was I talking about? Now, I like Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian and Pentecostal Holiness and Nazarene because all those groups have a statement of faith. They tell you what they believe. And so when a guy says, well, I'm a Nazarene, I know exactly what that guy believes. I know where he's coming from. Guy tells me he's an Episcopalian, I know what Episcopalians believe. If a guy's a Catholic, I know what the Catholic Church believes. I don't have a problem. Matter of fact, I find denominations very useful. Amen. Okay? People say, well, you know, we were at a gospel singing not too long ago, and the guy said, you know, just hang up your denomination at the door. We're all Christians in here. I thought, well, maybe I ought not go in because I'm not leaving my denomination anywhere. Amen. I'm a Baptist. I came by some little old church the other day. It's just getting started. And it's some kind of Christian fellowship. Now, what that is, that's a young fellow, probably a good man, probably loves God, just dumb, you know. And so stupid that he didn't know that we're supposed to be in churches. It said God purchased the church. He purchased the fellowship. Amen. So the guy just didn't have guts to put on his front door Baptist, trying to snag a few suckers that don't know the difference. See, I'd assume, it's like when we have guests, you know. My wife really wants me to ease up and be nice. She said, now so-and-so's going to have a visitor this morning. I don't care. I don't try to be any worse. I just don't try to be any better. Say what? Because they're going to find out sooner or later anyway. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to be me. Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican Baptist. I'm a saved Republican Baptist. folks these days they're independents. They're not a Baptist. I mean, they're not a Democrat, and they're not a Republican, and they're not a Libertarian. They're independents. That's just a bunch of folks that ain't got either. They either don't have the brains or the guts to get on one side. They want to bounce around here and there like a balloon blown in the wind. You can't count on them folks. John McCain, you know, was courting independence, trying to win the independence over. To heck with the independence. Got enough Republicans to win. In the news media these days, everything is about liberals and conservatives, the right and the left. And everybody wants you to be one or the other, unless you're one of them independents, whatever that is. You know, if it's not a boy and it's not a girl, what is it? You know, that kind of thing. It's a freak. That's what it is. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to get started here in a minute. I'm just having fun. So every time I turn around, I hear certain cliches in the news. He's a left. He's a liberal. He's on the left. And then you have the far left. And then you have Republicans, and they're on the right, and they're conservative, but then you have the far right. I guess you wear shades of red and blue, you know, and this one over here gets where it's almost white, and this one over here is pink, you know. You either are or you ain't. Amen. Now you got Blue Dog Democrats. That's a conservative Democrat. Well, that's kind of an oxymoron. It doesn't make a lick of sense. I don't know what a conservative Democrat is. If he's really conservative, moral conservative, physical conservative, social conservative, he ought to be a Republican. Yeah. The guy's mixed up. How in the world can you trust anybody that say he's conservative and it's still being the Democratic Party? Well, you can see I got a lot of problems with politics. I don't understand it, I guess. They got all these little buzzwords they use these days. They got one. I'm going to choke somebody one of these days. The next time somebody says, we have a moral imperative. We have a moral obligation. We have a moral duty to provide health care for everybody. I never knew that before. I'm 65 years old and I never knew I had a moral obligation to provide health care. And it doesn't look like the rest of the world did either, because here we are 6,000 years down the road and here's this brand new thing. The whole world just found out in the last 100 years that we had a moral responsibility, moral imperative to provide government health care for all the people in the world. I got to think about that the other day. I'm going to get to this in a minute. I got to vent because I'm just blowing up. I thought, I'm watching Fox News the other night, and they got this news babe on there, you know. And she's saying, we have a moral imperative. We have an obligation to provide health care. And I thought, you know, I bet you $100 a hole in a donut she believes in evolution. Now, if she believes in evolution, if she really believes it, she doesn't believe in God. The best you can do with evolution would be a deist, and then it would be limited to a first cause. Now, if you're an evolutionist, you believe life began in a slime pool. And we just grew and divided and separated and specialized and grew until everything that's alive in the world is related because it came out of that one pond, right? And a dog is an animal, and a monkey is an animal, and fish, and man. Now, what's the difference, what's the distinction between them? If they all came up out of the same slime pool, and there is no higher authority, man, most advanced creature, so we're the apex of the whole thing, but we have no soul, we have no absolute right and wrong, there's no creator God that says this is right, this is wrong, how do you have a moral anything? Does your dog have morals? Animals don't have a moral conscience. They just operate on instinct. And I know all, I've seen all them, what's that little dog?
Benji.
Benji, yeah, I've seen all them movies. They got half America believing animals think and reason and all that stuff. Out in outer space somewhere. And here's some advanced monkey with no soul and no higher authority talking about a moral imperative. Does that make any sense to anybody? If I'm just a monkey that's lost its hair, if that's all we are, my only moral imperative is to take care of me. That's what every animal on this planet does. Self-preservation is the number one moral imperative for every creature on the top side of this planet. If man's got a moral imperative, he had to get it from a higher authority than himself. So I'm sick and tired of listening to that bunch of morons. As far as I'm concerned, none of them got the intellectual brains to blow their nose by themselves. But all them liberal, all this is introduction. It's all going to tie together. Relax. All those educated buffoons who have moral imperatives, who believe you came up out of a wash basin full of dirty water, always want to run to the Bible or some book like the Bible and talk about how we ought to take care of each other and look out for each other and help each other and advance the cause of mankind. Well, I thought evolution was going to do that anyway. Yeah. Y'all know about that little fish out there in the, was it in Nevada, Arizona, someplace out there? They got a whole section of the country out there that is dying. It's part of the fruit basket. It's where we get our fruits and vegetables from. They turned off all the water because they found this little fish about that big that is on the endangered species list. Now, the water has been off for months. It's not back on yet. There are no crops there. The people are dying. The trees are dying. There's no water. Because they turned it off because the water, it's coming from these pumps, is ruining the habitat for these little fish. Now listen, if you're an evolutionist, let the fish die. Because you believe evolution is the survival of the fittest. If you can't adapt and progress, you get left behind. The strong, the smart, the mobile excel and advance, and the weak perish. So if them little fishes can't keep up, let them die. And turn the water back on. For crying out loud. Ain't y'all glad you don't have to live with me? Well, here's the ultimate question. You know? Everybody always gets back down to the Bible, and the Bible, you know, even people who don't believe it will use it if it'll aid and help them in their cause. And then they'll throw it in your face if you don't do what they think a good Christian ought to do.
Amen.
So I've got about 10 things here. And I really will try and go through them quick so we get through on time. I want to answer the question once and for all. Was Jesus a liberal? If Jesus were here today, would he be a Republican or a Democrat? Would Jesus vote for the health care? You say, well, how do you know? Well, because I got a Bible. It tells me what the Lord thinks about stuff.
Amen.
And so I just look him up on all them subjects, see? And so I got 10 things that liberals and conservatives differ about. Conservatives are on one side, liberals on the other side. Now, if I can find those 10 subjects in the writings of Jesus Christ, I can look at what he said, and I know whether he's over on that side or that side. It's that simple. Not complicated. Not rocket science. Let me give them to you as quick as we can. We'll go home. How does... What did the Lord Jesus Christ think about moral and religious corruption? Now, Republicans and Democrats both swear they're up and down there against it, right? But you've never seen anything any more corrupt in your life than the Democratic Party. You name one person up there you trust, I mean just one. That's the lionest, two-faced bunch of reprobate. You say, well, the Republicans just about as bad. Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Okay. What did Jesus think about that, though? Well, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, here's what he said. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called an house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So the Lord was against corruption in government and religion. You have to understand that in the religion of his day was a state thing. The government and the religion went hand in hand. They didn't have separation of church and state like you think you have. Amen. And by the way, there ain't no separation of church and state in any founding document for this country.
Amen.
Not there. It's a man-made thing.
Amen.
After the fact. Matter of fact, when you take religion out of your politics, what you end up with is the corruption you see right now. You know what's wrong with the Congress and the Senate of the United States? No God.
Amen.
That's the problem.
Amen.
So Jesus was anti-corruption. And so this Democratic Chicago thug administration that's running the country, the Lord would have been opposed to them.
Amen.
And he'd have made a scourge of cords and drove them out of their White House, out of their temple, where they worship at the shrine of Barack Obama.
Amen.
Number two. I thought it was going to be quick. I could have said a lot more. How did Jesus Christ stand on taxes? Amen. Now, we have them taxes been Democrats. I don't know if you've been listening to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Dobbs and or Chris Dodd and the rest of them. They're going to tax everything under the sun.
Amen.
You can't think of anything they're not going to put a tax on. They want to put tax on certain foods because they're not healthy. They already taxed cigarettes practically out of oblivion. Never could quite figure out, you know. We're going to use cigarette taxes to pay for this. Then they raise the tax so less people smoke, so they take in less money. How do you pay for that? Doesn't make a lick of sense, does it? It's like me, if you wanted to get more people to smoke, you take the tax off. Then you could pay for them projects you got. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Then saith unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Now, so the Lord was not opposed to tax or to paying your tax if it's a lawful tax. Democrats and Republicans both believe in taxing. And so it's kind of hard to figure out whether you're conservative or a liberal based on tax until you look at how we collect the tax. Right? Conservatives are always admonishing and voting for cutting taxes. Say, why? Because the money belongs to the people that earned it. Remember what they said over there to Ananias and Sapphira after they sold that little piece of dirt? He said, while you had it, while it was thine, was it not in thy power? See, it was yours. You do what you wanted to. And so the Bible's not only in favor of free enterprise and private property, it's in favor of you keeping what's yours. You ought to have, nobody ought to be able to take it away from you. Now, Democrats, on the other hand, think that they ought to be able to tax everything you've got. There are countries in Europe where the tax runs over 50% on the entire population. That's a lot of money. Especially when I work to make it. I don't want to give it away. I don't have any moral imperative to feed you if you won't work. I have no moral imperative to put you in the hospital and take care of you if you're too lazy and too stupid to do it yourself.
Amen.
Now, I'm all for taking care of widows and old people and people who are disabled. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not into feeding folks that could work and won't, that could have hospitalization and don't. I'd leave them on the side of the road. Was the Lord a liberal or Democrat? Well, so far he's pretty much a conservative.
Amen.
How about this? How did the Lord Jesus Christ stand on parental rights? Historically, Republicans are for family values. Even though you may have a Mark Sanford or two around, the other side's got John Edwards. And Billy Clinton in the Oval Office. Amen. And the Democrats had Jack Kennedy. They say Jack Kennedy had an affair every single time he went out of town. Every time. He was an absolutely notorious philanderer. Of course, you don't hear much about that, do you? Anyway. Republicans are pretty much family values and husband, wife, and we believe in traditional marriage and all that kind of stuff. And we believe that when you have kids, it's the responsibility of the parent to train it and teach it and raise it the way you see fit. Amen. My kid, and it's none of your business how I raise it. As long as I don't abuse it and neglect it, ain't none of your business. I can teach you to believe in a different religion on each day of the week, and it ain't none of your business. Well, Democrats think children belong to them. People sometimes get sucked in. You really have to learn to speak and understand what politicians say what they mean when they say certain words. Is, for example, if I say, our children need so-and-so. I mean my kids and your kids, our kids, right? That's not what the government means. When a Democrat says, our children, he means the state's children. They don't belong to you. They belong to the state. Now, the liberal, the Democrat, thinks it is the duty, the responsibility, the obligation of government to make sure that children get certain things and certain times get trained in certain ways and get brainwashed certain ways. And they look for every possible excuse to take your kids out of your house. I've been calling them the Gestapo for years and years. Now, what did Jesus think about that? Well, Luke chapter 2, verse 51, he said, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Of course, in the context of the sentence, the them is Mary and Joseph. That was his earthly parents. He wasn't subject to the state. He wasn't subject to the religious leaders. He was subject to his parents, to his mama and his daddy. And buddy, any intrusion into that by any government official, you ought to fight that like you'd fight a rattlesnake in your living room. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm sick and tired of people sitting back and saying, well, you know, they're the professionals. They know best. They don't know best.
Amen.
They don't know best. I know best. And nobody knows better how to raise my kids than I do. Is Jesus a liberal or a conservative? What did he think about minimum wage? What did he think about somebody telling people how much they could make and how much they couldn't? He didn't think much about it at all. Now, we have a quasi-government in the United States. In the past 6 months, we now have 40 czars. I'm not exaggerating. Most people don't even realize it. It's not announced. It's not voted on. Nobody knows who they are. Barack Obama appoints them and tells them and gives them their authority. Now, they have a new pay and compensation czar. And that guy, today, that guy has the authority to go back to 2003 and look at the records of companies, and if he thinks they paid too much in bonuses, he can take the bonuses back. Now, who gave that guy that power? Where did he get that authority? He got that from Barack Obama without the Congress, without the Senate, and without the will of the people. And there are 40 of them guys up there. We don't need the Congress and the Senate anymore because we got all them. You know who them guys report to? They report to Barack Obama. He appointed them, he hires and he fires. He gives them their authority. I thought the authority for government came from the Congress and the Senate. I didn't know the president had the authority to give people power to do certain things. Anyway. What did Jesus think about it? Matthew chapter 20, verse 2. And we had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. He sent them into the field. Wage negotiations are between employer and employee. Amen. They paid some guy the other day $100 million bonus. Is that wild or what? Is that wild? $100 million, 1 year bonus. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad he got it, and I think he's worth more money. Look, I work for a company. If I make him $1 million this year, and he pays me my salary, if he gives me a 10 grand bonus, I'd be tickled to death. Amen? And you'd say, well, shoot, 10 grand, that ain't nothing. You made him $1 million. That's 0.1%. Right? That ain't much money. But what'd be a nice bonus? Well, now just suppose that I made him $50 billion. A billion is 1,000 millions. And I made him 1,000 millions, made him $50 billion in a year. And he gave me $100 million. Percentage-wise, he got less of a bonus than I did. But people just get so wrapped up, $100 million, oh God, man, you could... It's none of your business. If that guy made them enough money, they can afford to do that. And believe me, them people aren't stupid. If it wasn't making them money, they would not be giving him $100 million. We don't reward people with bonuses that put us in the red. It's So if that guy gets $100 million, if the board of trustees and the people that own that company and the shareholders look and say, man, that guy made us $50 billion last year, but give him $100 million. Ain't none of our business. It's class envy. They want you to hate him. They want you to be jealous because look what he's got. Well, he worked for it just like you did, just on a bigger scale. That stuff just aggravates me to death, you know. You have no idea how frustrated I get sometimes. I cut a deal with my employer. It's between me and him. And if I make him money, he'll be happy with it. And if I don't, he'll replace me. Amen? That's the free market. If I make him good money, he'll keep me on. I've been working for the same guy now for 24, 25 years. I don't know how long. Ever since I quit B&G. You know why I'm still there? Because I'm making money every year. That's why. If I don't make him money, I'm here to tell you, Kenny Melton is sitting me right out the door. Well, now, how much money I make him is none of your business. And how much he pays me for making it for him is none of your business. And it's none of the government's either. How much stake does the government have in our company? None. So then why do they get to say anything about how it's run? Amen? Amen. Okay, for Jesus was, wages should be negotiated and maintained between the employer and the employee. If I give you a job for $2 an hour and you agree to it, right? Whose business is that? Nobody. Why does somebody that doesn't know my business, how much money I make or how many bills I got, what gives them the right to say, well, I know he's just sweeping the floor and any fool can do that, but you got to pay him $8 an hour. Well, it's not worth $8 an hour. Amen? Now, I said, well, there's Tommy. He's got high school education. And there's Steve. He's got a college education. They both want that job. I'm going to have to pay $8 no matter what. I'm going to hire Steve because he's got a college education. Amen? Now, if I hadn't been forced to do that, I could have hired Tommy, who is going to have a hard time getting a job because he only has a high school education. And Steve, with a college education, stands a lot better chance of getting a job and a better paying job. Amen. Tommy would have loved to have that job for $8 an hour. Listen, if somebody came in today and they wanted to sweep the floor and they wanted $3 an hour, do you know something? Making $3 an hour is better than not making anything an hour. I work many a day for a lot less than $3 an hour. I work many a day for a lot less than $1 an hour. But none of the government's business. And Jesus Christ was a conservative. So far, he's been a conservative on every point. Now, what did he think about welfare? Amen. Welfare, you know, where we take from one group and give it to another group because they don't have it. Or at least they don't have as much of it as we've got. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know anybody, I don't know a single person that is against honest charity. People that are disabled, widows, orphans, I don't know anybody that wouldn't go out of the way to help them. And if they collected our money and gave it to people who honestly couldn't help themselves, I don't think there's a single American would have a problem with that. But boy, I sure got a problem with giving to a bunch of freeloaders that won't work. Amen. I got a real problem giving it to people who snuck across the border and aren't even supposed to be here. If there's anything I don't understand in contemporary American, I don't understand this immigration thing. That doesn't make a lick of sense to me. Unless the Democrats want them over here because they're going to get them to vote for them, I can't. That's the only thing that makes any sense. Well, man, how much are they paying for them votes? Bible said in Mark chapter 14, verse 7, "For you have the poor with you always, whensoever ye will, you may do them good." Part one, Lyndon Baines Johnson was wrong. We're not going to get rid of poverty. And the Great Society was a hallucination. You're not going to get rid of the poor. Now, we ought to take care of them. We ought to be kind. We ought to be generous as we can, individually and as a society and as a church. But if you think there's any way in this world to get rid of poverty, you're out of your ever-loving mind. The poor are always going to be around. Amen? Then, who is obligated to take care of them? You know what that verse just said? It said, "Ye may do good to them whensoever you will." Nobody has the right to tell me that I have to help anybody. That's a personal choice. It's a decision I get to make. You can't tell me I've got to give to United Way. Man, when I was in the Navy, you know, United Way was a big thing. They want everybody to give a day's pay or something like that. I forget what it was now. I wouldn't give. And I thought they were going to court-martial us. I mean, it's just, you wouldn't believe the pressure they put on to make you give. I didn't give. I didn't have anything against United Way. I had a problem with somebody telling me I had to. I've always had that problem, though. I just, ask me, don't tell me. Jesus said, charity, benevolence, kindness, generosity is an individual thing, and it's at the discretion of the person who's doing the giving. Amen? Listen, I may look at one person and be touched by them. Look at another one, and they don't touch my heart. But the one that didn't touch me may touch you. See? You can't just come in and arbitrarily make people support welfare programs and all. And that's what the government has done. They take your money and give it out in food stamps, housing subsidies, WICs, and about 100 other programs for the poor. And I'm sure there are some poor in there. I don't mean to misrepresent it. There are some poor. There are some people who need the help. But I'm here to tell you, pal, that thing is loaded down to the gills where folks just ain't doing nothing. And that's my money they're giving away. And I work hard for that money. What did Jesus think about marriage? Well, now you know, all them Republicans, all them conservatives, we are for traditional marriage. We believe that marriage is one man and one woman.
Amen.
Amen. And all them Democrats and liberals, they kind of pro-homosexual. It always makes me worry about them, you know. I tried to analyze that thing one time. I tried to figure out why in the world, if you was a man and you weren't homosexual, you had a wife and you liked girls, why would you promote and support the homosexual agenda? I think there's a snake in the woodpile there someplace, what I think. I don't trust them guys. I mean, if you're straight arrow, there's something weird about the guy supporting that other legislation. I mean, I just think, I just ain't cool. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, So the liberals want to change the law to allow anybody to marry. Can you imagine where that's going to end? Now, if you can let a man marry a man, or a woman marry a woman, why can't you let a brother marry a sister? Well, come to think of it, then why can't you have a man marry two women? Or maybe a man marries one woman and a man. They're already trying it. That thing about triangles or triunions or whatever they're calling it, where you got one man with two wives or two women, two men with one. I can't keep it all straight. Sick, twisted mess. Now, what did the Lord think about all that stuff? Was he a liberal? Was he a Democrat, or was he a Republican? Well, in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, the Bible said, "For the woman which hath an husband," not, it doesn't say, "For the woman which hath a wife." Just pay attention to the words. Not hard. "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband." Male gender, female gender, right? Verse 3. "So then, if her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress." Well, so God didn't think you ought to have two wives at the same time, or two husbands at the same time. And he thought it was supposed to be a man and a woman. So you go all the way through the Bible and you can't find any place in there where it was okay to have a man to man, a woman to woman.
Amen.
And God didn't like multiples.
Amen.
It was a woman who hath a husband, one woman and one man. Well, that makes Jesus a doggone conservative again. Amen. So far, Jesus ain't had one Democrat liberal bone in his body. Well, let's get to the question of the day then. How did Jesus stand on homosexuality? Did he approve of the fruitcakes and the fairies and the fags and all that stuff? Or was he Jesus a homophobe? Well, God's a homophobe. The whole Bible's homophobic, if you just want to know the truth. But here's what Jesus had to say about it. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise the men leaving the natural use of the woman." Natural. You know what they used to call it when somebody was convicted of sodomy, homosexuality, lesbian? They were convicted of a crime against nature. Because that's what's natural. They're perverts. Every homosexual, male or female, on the planet is a sexual deviant. They're not nice people.
Amen.
They shouldn't be your friends. We don't need to coexist with them. We ought to show them up for what they are and make them get back in their closet and lock their doggone door.
Amen.
And keep them away from our kids. Oh, Brother Anthony, you are so old-fashioned and so reactionary. You bet your booties, baby. I was raised real old-fashioned and real country. And I might could have been talked out of that, but then I got saved and got me a Bible. I'm messed up for life now. What did Jesus think about church and state? You know, we got to keep the separation of church and state. Now, what they really mean is we got to get rid of the church so the state can run it. What the state wants to do is silence the church. The state can put up with anything out of anybody about anything if you just keep your mouth shut. You can believe whatever you want to. You can get as mad as you want to. You can rant and rave in your living room. They don't care. What they can't stand is for you to open your mouth and say something. You know why the Democrats are all upset right now? It's because all the people across the country are opening their mouth. You know what they want to do? They want them to shut up. And if you shut up, they'll win. Get out there and run your mouth and be antagonistic and be confrontational. Don't be violent. But anything short of that, help your cotton picking self. Now listen, I'm an American citizen and a Christian. I can't separate either one of those from the other. I can't quit being an American, and I can't quit being a Christian. Now my Christianity makes me believe certain things. Therefore, I want to see certain things happen in our country. You know what the liberals are saying? They'll say, all you Christians want to bring all y'all's beliefs into the political arena. Well, they're right. I do. But you ever think about this? All you liberal, agnostic, atheist reprobates want to bring all your beliefs into the political arena. You got yours from a liberal professor down to a liberal college, and I got mine from a fundamental Bible preacher out of a Bible. But I bring my beliefs with me, and he brings his. But he thinks I ought to leave mine home because he don't like where I got them. Well, I think he ought to leave his home because I don't like where he got them. Don't let him talk into shutting up. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Hold it. Is he the king or is he the preacher? He might have been the king of preachers. Michael Jackson was the king of pop. Elvis was the king of rock. And Solomon was the king of preachers. Amen. The world's most eloquent orator. But is there a separation of government here? He was the preacher, and he was the king. You, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution wasn't trying to drive a wall between religion and government. All it was trying to do was make sure that the government didn't start its own church. In England, the Church of England is the church of the state. And the state tells it what it can do and what it can't do. They control it. It's a state entity. And our founding fathers did not want the government of the United States to start its own church and then require everybody to go to it and tax. And so separation of church and state, in a constitutional sense, if there was, the phrase is not there, but if it were, all it would mean is that the government cannot start a church, cannot run a church. It doesn't mean, separation of church from state, doesn't mean you can't have a manger scene on the courthouse square. Amen. Amen. That wasn't in the Constitution. It wasn't in the thoughts of the framers. It's not in any of the founding documents. Every one of those founding fathers was religious. Now, some of them were deists, I understand that. But they were religious, and they had respect for religion. And they understood all of our federal buildings are encrusted with Bible verses. If it's a violation of church and state to have any religious symbol or any religious wording on anything that belongs to the government, the founding fathers didn't know what they wrote when they wrote it because they had it put on every building in the country. I think the people that are messed up are the suckers that are running it today that don't know up from down or back from forward.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I feel a lot better. I don't know if y'all know what I was talking about, but I feel real good. I like to go for about another hour or so with all this spiritual talk. Somebody said, why don't you just preach the Bible?